There we are. Good morning. Well, 2023 is upon us, and seems like the years just pass faster and faster. I don't know about you. I you know, one thing about New Year's, New Year's Eve, and things, I have never really gotten into it much. I don't know what it is, but I think it comes down to this. It comes down to it's just another day. You know, it's just another day going by, and I say, I don't feel any different, you know, even though it's supposed to be a new start. Now, I was talking to Joe, maybe an attitude could be changed, you know, for the new year and thinking about what you can do new. I mean, we're always looking for a new start, right? Everybody'd like to have a new start, a new life, something going on that's something, you know, better than before, really. That's what a lot of people start making all these, you know, arrangements or establish these new disciplines in life to try to become better. You know, I'm gonna read more books. You know, I'm gonna exercise more. I'm gonna lose weight. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to be on time at work more. You know, things like that. I'm gonna be a better student or whatever. You know, as you go on, we're always thinking about that, and we say, "Oh well, a new year. What a great start." Well, I don't know how many times I have tried, you know, wrote some things down, said these are my goals for 2023. But, you know, I write them down, and I'm so earnest, you know, about it. Then about 2 or 3 days later, I don't even look at it. And then life just continues on. And hopefully there's a change. But truthfully, we're new life, and a new heart needs to be there, all right? If you're going to have a change in your life, you need something working right here. And it's more than what we can do. Now, there are some people that have done some pretty good things. You know, they've been able to, with their, you know, maybe in their own strength, they're able to change their lives somewhat, you know. But most of us, you know, can't do that very well. So we need something more that will change this heart. And Joy and I, for our anniversary, we went to Sight and Sound. We saw to play David. And one thing that stuck out to me there, what I think it was the prophet Nathan told David, he says, you know, if you're going to have a change of heart, you got to spend time with the Lord. You know, the change of heart only comes when you spend time with the Lord. And I said, yeah, that's right. Because we can do and do and, you know, all that stuff, but it just doesn't work out that way. I don't know about you. Pajau ben pu yingyai ben pu ti rak rao doi mi kwam rak ti yung ta let ben mak mai lai. And the issue is that. See, as I was reading the scripture, I was going, all of a sudden it hit me. You know, God speaks a different language. And we have our own language. You know, natural man or natural woman. You know, we're in the world and we're, you know, the things, material things of the world, the tangible things that you can see and touch and all that stuff. You know, we got it. You know, that's what we're after. But the spiritual things, those things that you can't see, it's kind of foolishness. Kind of like, what? You know, a lot of people, I don't know about you, and I know for myself, I've, you know, one of my big things was, you know, to build my own kingdom. You know, I'm going to create my own heaven on earth because I don't know about the real heaven. I'm just thinking about me, myself, and I and what I got around me. Right? That's the natural person, the spirit of a man or a woman that does not have the Spirit of God yet. So God is speaking in one way, and we're speaking another one, and there's a miscommunication going on. And we all kind of wonder, well, why is it so hard to be saved? Why is the way to heaven so narrow and the way to hell is so broad? Well, I think it really comes down to this communication and where our hearts are. Are we able to listen or not? and understand, not just listening, because we can all listen. I mean, I don't know about you, but I speak to a lot of people in English, and they speak to me in English, but there are some times I gotta go, huh? You talking to me? Are you talking to me? You know, with Robert De Niro, people make spoofs over that, you know, are you talking to me? You know, they're kind of, you know, kind of like, what's going on? Some people say, are you talking to me? Because I have no clue what you're saying. Yeah, I know you're speaking English, but I don't understand what you're saying to me. Or I'm not grasping it. And so there's miscommunication, even within the same language. So today we're going to be taking a look about that a little bit more because, you know, it is difficult to be saved. In fact, the disciples were saying, you know, after Jesus got through with the rich man, rich young ruler, who could not put aside his riches to follow Christ at that point in time. And so he went off sad. And they said, well, if a rich man can't get into heaven, how can anybody? And God says, well, it's impossible for you. It's impossible for man. But it's not impossible with God. And that's what we're going to be looking at in this scripture, what God does in our lives and how we are a part of that grace salvation that happened in our lives and also hopefully in the lives of the people around us as well. So let's pray before we go on. Father, we just praise you and thank you for, this gathering that we can come together to be in your word together. To pray together, to worship you, to praise you, to support and encourage one another, Lord, to give unto you, Lord, in the hopes of building your kingdom here on mountaintop and beyond around the world. So, Father, I pray that you'll just bless this time, bless these words by the power of your Holy Spirit, and that we will receive them, not just listen to them, but they'll penetrate to the depths of our heart. Remind us of things that we used to know and teach us anew things we need to know so we can walk in that path that you have for us to be a blessing to others. So we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Take this out. As you notice, I don't have a PowerPoint because I was going, you know, with New Year's and stuff, I was kind of going, whoa, I don't think I'm going to make it there. So I didn't get a PowerPoint up, but I will be your PowerPoint. Is that all right? Kind of a weird one, but I do have the star to guide me. So I feel so much better, you know. I did not ask for those socks, okay? But I'm so happy I received them. So it's a blessing, one of my favorite presents. First of all, when you look at the scripture, we have to kind of go back a little bit in 1 Corinthians, if you have your Bible there, and we're going to go back to chapter 1 a little bit because, you got the context of the word to kind of grasp what's going on here because it's really God's pleasure. Salvation comes from God's pleasure alone. It is not man's work, right? So when you go back and you look at some of the things, like if you go back to verse 18 of chapter 1, it says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So you see a little bit of what's going on there? And then as you go on a little bit further, God, you know, he has his own pleasure in doing things. And even in that next verse, he says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. You starting to get a picture of God's pleasure? he's looking at man, and he knows man. I mean, you could see, like what Steve was saying, people boast, they boast in themselves, look how good I am, or they boast in somebody else, Barbara Walters, who just passed away, or Pele, passed away, or somebody else, people boast, and you just set them up on these high pedestals and things like that. And you boast in your football team, especially when they win. If they lose, you kind of go, what? I don't know. But all that is going on, right? And God knows this. And so here in 22, it says, Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. And if you go back to 21, go back up, it says, For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. All this, you know, this God's pleasure in what he's doing. In 25, it says, For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. So you keep on seeing how God is working in this. And in 27, it says, But God... Well, actually, you can go back to 26. Listen to this. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. So, and now we're getting to a point here, God's pleasure, right? And then God's plan is this, so that no one... There in 29, chapter 1, it says, so that no one may boast before him. So his pleasure is to make the wise foolish and the strong weak and to despise things of this world to come up to be above the things that set themselves up high. You know, God's pleasure is to where his salvation message is what saves people and not the man's works or his own value or his own rules or system he sets up or whatever. You know, God's saying, my pleasure is this, Christ crucified. Christ crucified. And then the plan of God comes right here. You know, you can see his heart. He's building up to this moment. I don't want anybody to boast. Nobody boasts about themselves. You know, nobody boasts in whatever they can do. Nobody can boast before him. And then it goes on in 30, it says, It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus. This is the plan. It's because of God himself. It's not because of what we have done or what somebody else has done before us, or a system that we live in, or society, or whatever. It's not that. It is because of him, Christ Jesus, because of the Father's grace that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. Wisdom from God. And then it goes on in mind, it says, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. And I was looking at the message. I wrote down something here from the message. I kind of like the way they wrote that in there too. If I could find that. Where did I put that there? Oh, it says this. It says, everything that we have, right thinking and right living, a clean slate and a fresh start come from God by way of Jesus Christ. So that's that wisdom, you know, a new start, a new life, something new going on in our hearts and minds that we could not do ourselves. And then at the end there, it says, therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. We're pretty good boasters. And we might try to pretend that we're not. But there's a lot of boasting going on. A lot of people boast, you know. So, you know, why is the way narrow? So narrow. Well, you got a communication issue going on, two different languages going on, a man's language and God's language, just not, you know, just can't hear. And also, there's that pride issue. You know, I don't need God. I'm doing all right. Look, I got a car. I got a family. I got a house. I got a job. I'm doing good. Good for me. Until it burns down. And then where are you at? Until you get hit by a missile from Russia. Then where are you at? Until your health falls apart on you. Or a car accident happens. And then where are you? So, you know, you look at this and you see God's heart. You know, his pleasure is to make foolishness of man's wisdom, the world's wisdom, what we think is, you know, we got the knowledge and we're going to put it into action. We're going to build this. We're going to do that. We're going to be good people and we're going to make everything just right. We're going to build our kingdoms here on earth. Heaven on earth. But as you look, how's it going? How's it going, Earth? How's it going, United States? It's a lot of problems, and they're getting worse and worse. So God is saying, well, don't boast. You know, if you're going to boast, boast in me because of what I have done here. Because this is all-inclusive. This is my love for you. To teach you and guide you. See, I don't know about you. I'm trying to think about my own time, and you know, because it took me 29 years really to come before the Lord. You know, I know I've been with other people and trying to teach them about things of God. You know, read the Bible with them, study with them, talk to them about God. But you could. There's times and point either they either say it, or you just can see it in their face. I just don't see it. I can't understand it. You know, they're reading the Bible and there's just some blockage there. And then even the disciples, have you ever read the story of the Bible? And you're going to Luke, you know, even and later in Luke, you know, they're going, huh, who is this guy? You know, who can calm the sea, the storm and the waves, you know? And then even after the resurrection, you know, the disciples were still going, huh, like that. And Jesus showed up and talking with these guys on the road to Emmaus, and it was Simon and a guy named Cleopas. Simon Peter, right? And they're still kind of going, huh? You know, Jesus is walking right beside them. He had to actually enlighten them, open their minds, open their eyes, open their hearts to where they finally go, oh, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And he had to do that to the other disciples too. He had to just open their eyes. So there was something more than what we could do on our own. Only God could work it out. And that's where you go into in that doxology there in Romans 11, right? Remember that? Here, I'll read it for you. It says this, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. 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 So God's pleasure and God's plan, we could see it clearly. Nobody can boast before him. So how did we get saved then? I mean, we got some major obstacles in front of us, right? I mean, we got this language issue with the Father, you know, he's speaking to us and we're just going, oh, you know, we got this pride issue to where we're boasting in everything but God. So how does it happen? Well, let's read on. there in chapter 2. Here, you know, listen to Paul's words here. In chapter 2, our verse 2. Oh, even verse 1, I'm sorry. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. So he's, you know, he's telling it true, right? For I resolved to know nothing when I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. And how many times did we hear about this? If you tune it on or you watch somebody or you listen to somebody or you read a book of some, there's a lot of persuasive people out there. They're pretty smart. They got good words. They're sharp. They're funny. They catch it. They move it. They got great voice. They go up and they catch your attention. You know, there's a lot of that. A lot of you people using that. But it says here, and then Paul says, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. See, he's not using all these persuasive words on these big words, colorful words, or actions or whatever. He's using the words of God. The demonstration of the Spirit's power working amongst him in his own life as a testimony for them to see as well. So that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. See where he's going with all this? He doesn't want us to go after man. Oh, there's so many people. How many people we know, or even ourselves, that we've been to a church or had a situation, and people treated, we went to a church, they didn't treat us well. They rejected us, or they just didn't talk to us, they weren't very friendly, or they didn't show love to us in one way, or they didn't include us, or things like that. And then all of a sudden we just go, oh, I'm done. With Jesus. I'm done with Jesus. See, we always say, I'm done with you, God. We're so quick to say, I'm done with you, God. But the thing is, if we're going after people, we're putting people in front of God. I boast in my church. Well, really? Boast in Christ. Not that church that has 5,000 people in it. Or 50 people in it. Stop running after man. And stop putting man on a pedestal and don't rely upon man because we fail a lot. We reject a lot. But God does not reject. He's there in the air with open arms saying, listen to me. I sent you my son. Listen to him. Come to him. Receive him. Let my power of these words save you. The power of Christ. So as we look at, you're going through all these different things and you got these parts, to plan. Now you got God's present, and I'm not saying his presence, but his present, his gift to us. He gave us a wonderful gift. Listen to this. We do, going on there to verse 6, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of the age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom a mystery that has been hidden. A mystery. And that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. Nobody, the Pharisees didn't understand it. The rulers didn't understand it. The wise men understood it. The shepherds understood it. But these rulers, these people that are boasting in themselves and their own things that they're building and all that stuff, they didn't understand what God's wisdom was, what he was doing here. And said it's foolishness to them. They don't listen to it. They don't understand it. They don't listen to it. You know, Christ on the cross, what did it say? Hey, oh, Lord, forgive them. Father, forgive them. For they do not know what they are doing. They didn't understand. And so we rely upon people that don't understand. Oh, my. The church is, we have to ask the church, we need to turn our eyes away from the world and turn them to Christ. For the wisdom is in him. And he doesn't fail us. What no eye has seen, what no ear has seen. I like it just saying, no ear, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has perceived or even imagined what God has prepared for us who love him. That's a powerful word. You know, the mystery is there, but he's unfolding. How? As you read on, it says, these are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. See, God's grace, his mercy, it's all, you know, it's shown in so many ways. And then by that, through his grace and mercy to us, he allows the Spirit. And the Spirit searches the deep things even of God the Father. And the Spirit, you know, finds these nuggets of truth and these things that will teach us and guide us in our lives, and then he reveals them to us. And by that grace, salvation wonders. You know, his grace alone, his Spirit working, and somehow our hearts meet his heart, and then there's that salvation that comes. And then that Spirit starts to speak, and we start to hear his voice more and more. And we start to read his word and start to understand a little bit more. See, in a language, when we went to Thailand, we didn't understand a language like that. Oh, we would have loved to, right? I mean, it would have been wonderful to be able to speak to the Thai people in their own language and no issues. It took us years. Proficiency. Some people are more proficient than others. You know, they grasp it, they catch it a little bit faster than others. You know, but some of us go a little bit slower. You know, you hear that word, you go, oh, yeah, I got that word. I mean, when we were going to church there, you know, they'd say, prachow, prachow, prachow. Praise you, praise you. We're going, oh, and we're starting to understand, oh, that's God, that's Jesus. You know, we're starting to catch this, but it took time as we're studying the language and listening more and practicing more, and then the language started to come to us to understand more and more what the Thai were saying to us, you know. Even though there's times when they say, you talking to me? You know, when they point you the wrong direction, because they really didn't know, but they had to save face, so, but they'll point you the direction. You'll go to that direction and go, what? These guys don't know what he's doing, where to go. So you have a miscommunication sometimes, but God doesn't miscommunicate. You know, it's us. It's our hearts to his heart. You know, David was a man after what God's own what? Heart. He had a heart after God's own heart. But that doesn't happen like, you know, oh, here's a special heart for you. No. He had the same type of heart we do. What he did was he spent time with the Lord. He was out with his sheep for how long? You know, from a kid on. And so he had a lot of time, you know, talking with God, listening to him, listening to stories people told. You know, seeing God's work, you know, protecting those sheep and, you know, all he did there. You know, he had to experience. And so his heart was shaped. He says, you're God. So when this Goliath guy comes up, he says, that's nothing, man. Give me a little rock. I'll nail this guy. And he did. So it's the time we spend with God. You know, and I know we all have different personalities and stuff like that, and things going on in our lives, jobs, schooling, everything else. But, you know, it doesn't mean that we can't find that time. And it can look different from one person. Some people can be jogging and having a great time with the Lord. talking with them, you know, praying with them, you know, talking and listening to them, stuff like that. You're running or driving or even working, going to school, you know, it can look that. Or people just in their quiet space somewhere, you know, you find that quiet bench or your quiet part of your house or outside walking in amongst the trees in a beautiful area and just spend that time. You know, because things like this get in our lives, right? This thing and other things like it, they take away over a lot of our time. And so we wonder, why can't I hear his voice? Why can't I understand what's going on? You know, probably because you're not listening. Maybe not spending enough quiet time to where he'll speak and bring about these things. It's there in 12 that says, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. What has he freely given us? What? Forgiveness? In who? Christ. So actually, what has he given us? Really, who? Who has he freely given us? Now, it was a great cost at him for the Father, but not for us. It was free for us. It still is. So you're talking about, you know, this interaction, and it says, you know, this is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. So when we start getting in the Word and we're going, huh? Maybe we need to pray. You know, we try to do that in our life groups and stuff like that, and you should be doing that each time you pick up the Bible. Just ask God to reveal Christ to you. Reveal his word to you in new ways. Open your heart. Because when Jesus spoke to those disciples, it was the Spirit illuminating their very souls to where they can start to grasp these spiritual realities that natural man cannot. We just can't do it. See, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. And then it comes at the end there, it says, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. And if we have the mind of Christ, then we should be able to be speaking the same language. And if we have the mind of Christ, we should be walking closer to him, seeking more time in what I call the big five. The big five is spending time in the Word, right? Prayer, fellowship, service, serving others, witness, and doing all that with praise and thanksgiving as worship unto the Lord. All that. If we have the mind of Christ, those things, those priorities, those should be the priorities of our lives. You know, you should be feeling, oh, you know, at 12 midnight, you should go, I didn't read my Bible. Well, why? So you got to maybe start, you know, ordering your life a little bit differently. But at least, you know, you felt that. And now you can start reorganizing your life. Or maybe it's that prayer. Maybe, you know, God, you know, that he says, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? And then love your neighbor as yourself. When we're praying for those around us, our family, friends, people around us in our own community, you know, that's a display of love that you're taking the time to do that, to bring these people before the throne of God. Nobody else is praying for them, I guarantee you. I guarantee you, the people you're praying for, I would really be surprised there's too many people praying for them at all. So if you have a mind of Christ, take it on. Those he puts upon your heart, pray. Pray for them. Get into the Word. We got this. If you haven't gotten this one, there's some more on the table there. These are a blessing from us to the church. Devotion by Alistair Begg. Just pick it up today, day one. Start with it. Read it. Alistair's got some good thoughts. He's got a little scripture that goes along with his thoughts. And if you want to read the Bible in a whole year, and I really encourage you to do that, because if we really do have the mind of Christ, we should know the Bible. We should be in the Word. We should know all the stories, the people and the character. Right down there at the bottom, here, this part, this is a part here that they have with the scripture here with his thoughts about it. And then down here is where these things here, you read this, you follow this every day, you'll get through the Bible, the whole Bible in a year. So this is a blessing to us to use, you know, to get close to the Lord, to spend that time with him, you know, and to have, you know, to listen and to learn. I learned a lot. I don't know about the elders. We read through it and stuff like that. But I know a lot of these things, you know, not impacted my life. It helped remind me or teach me things that are new. So if you have the mind of Christ, we should be praying. We should be in the Word. We should be serving one another out of love. Encouraging one another, serving others in the community in some way, giving witness, you know, sharing. You know, remember now, the language you're going to be speaking is going to be very different from what they understand, but speak in a way that a fifth grader or a five-year-old could handle, you know? Speak in a way that would be clear from your heart, that they'll start to grasp a little bit more of what you're saying about Christ. And through prayer, by God's grace alone, this person's going to be a saved person. One of those who are in Christ Jesus forever and ever. It's worth it. It's worth it to do. So remember that. And all this and thanksgiving and praise and worship, right? Everything that we're doing, we be thankful and praising God. That's how you start out that new year, you know, that new start. We're always looking for a new start. Well, start it right here. Start it right here with the Lord and allow him to work in you and through you, changing your hearts, changing my heart, that we can be a blessing to those around us, our families, those who are walking in darkness, those who just need support and prayer and encouragement. Let's pray. Lord Father, thank you again for your word and learning about, Lord, what's impossible for us, it is possible for you alone. That grace, salvation, wonder that you've done in our hearts, and pray that you'll do in others' hearts, Lord. And Father, that you'll just continue to work and that your kingdom will continue to grow and many more will come into that narrow way and go through that gate that is Christ alone and receive these things that no eye has ever seen or heard or imagined before. The things that you have prepared for us who love you. Because you first loved us. Thank you, Father. Bless us to be a blessing, pray. In Jesus Christ's name, and all those people say, amen.